Holly Eliff asks, are you equipping your children for the challenges they'll face?
Why would we send them out into life without the real armor that Ephesians 6 says God has built for our children?
This is Revive Our Hearts with Nancy Lee DeMoss for Thursday, January 16th.
Have you ever stopped to think that the investment you're making in your children could affect the whole world with the gospel? And if you're single and involved with younger women, or maybe you're a grandmom and you're investing in your grandchildren, you're affecting the world through them as well. Yesterday, my good friends Bill and Holly Eliff began to show us how important it is to have a heart for the next generation. The investment you make in your children's lives, or maybe your nieces and nephews, your grandchildren, or other children in your church or your community, when you invest in them, you may be helping to spread the gospel in some powerful ways. We'll hear more about that as we hear part two of this message that was recorded at True Woman 12. But first, let me remind you that True Woman 14 is coming to Indianapolis this October. Now, why should you consider joining us in Indy? Well, here's what Bob Lapine says. Bob is on the advisory board of Revive Our Hearts, and he's been the MC of the past True Woman conferences.
So I would say to a woman who is looking at coming to a True Woman event, you need to be ready to be impacted. You need to be ready to meet God. You need to be ready to engage. There's going to be some substance, and you're going to be challenged, and you're going to be encouraged. You may be convicted. You can expect God to show up. I've been at five events. If you come to True Woman, you'll expect to find God here, because He shows up where His word is preached, where prayer is preeminent. God shows up here, and I think that's what women can expect.
True Woman 14 is coming to Indianapolis October 9th through 11th. And you can get in on an early discounted registration rate when you sign up before May 1st. You can register or get all the details by visiting reviveourhearts.com. Now let's get back to Bill and Holly Eliff. Bill is a pastor of the Summit Church in Little Rock, Arkansas. And he and his wife, Holly, have been good friends of mine and of the ministry of Revive Our Hearts for many years. Yesterday, they began teaching from 2 Timothy chapter 1. And today, they'll pick back up in this series, Epicenter, the World-Changing Impact of a Christ-Centered Home. Bill's talking about recognizing your child's spiritual gifts.
So how in the world do we help them discover those gifts, discover who they really are in Christ, and then create this family that's white heart with a sincere faith and functioning spiritual gifts that we can really affect the world? Well, let me just give you some thoughts about that. Number one, we need to become students of our children, don't we? I mean, every kid is so different. I look at our eight kids, and there's not a one of them that's the same. They're so different, and they've got different spiritual gifts. My first daughter has the gift of mercy. My second daughter doesn't. And I remember, can I hear an amen? And I remember when we were learning, you know, we were a new couple. We were just learning how to discipline our children. And I would look at Jennifer, and she would just melt. She'd start crying. She would repent of stuff she'd not even done because of her gift of mercy. But then my second daughter, I just had to wear her out, man, to get her to understand things. But they're different kinds of people, aren't they? And so we need to become students, and we need to ask the Lord, give me insight into my child so I can know who they are, what they're made of, and the particular gifts that you have supernaturally placed in their life when they come to know Jesus Christ. And then create an environment. You know, if you take a tree and you plant it in concrete, it's not going to grow, is it? But if you take a tree and you put it in the right soil, right sunlight, right water, right food, it's going to have incredible growth. And all of us know we need to create as best we can a home environment where our children are growing, as they're growing in Christ, they're going to naturally begin to feel, and you're going to see the expression of those gifts. And then help them exercise their spiritual gifts. You know, your kids and mine grow physically by exercise, don't they? Sometimes we need to kick them out the door. Remember, my wife used to say in the summer with our kids, she'd send them out, lock the door, and say, "Don't come in unless there's blood." And it's got to be a significant amount of blood, actually, before you come in. So we need to help them exercise. We need to do that with our kids spiritually. So we see, we think we've got a son here that's a leader. We think we've got a daughter who's got a gift of administration. Help them exercise that gift. Give them little opportunities to serve in those particular realms. And then we need to complement success, don't we? I mean, when we see just the little beginnings, the outcroppings of those gifts beginning to develop in the lives of our children, then we need to just flood their soul with encouragement, because they're not going to get a lot of that in the world. And we need to acknowledge those successes, and that all those successes come from God, right? And so that they understand the proper place that that's originated from. By the way, ladies, can I pause right here? All that I'm saying about our kids also goes for our mates, doesn't it? This is what husbands should be doing for their wives. This is what wives should be doing for their husbands. You should look at your husband, find what his spiritual gift is, help him exercise that, encourage him when he succeeds in that. And here's another thing, and that's to navigate failures. I mean, our kids are going to fail, aren't they? I mean, they're gonna be times where they don't do that real well in their life. And we need to help them know how to handle that, because that's what life is all the way through. And then we need to expand their horizons, give them ever-expanding opportunities, and fiercely combat the lies that their lives can't make a difference. My mother was a country woman who loved Jesus and read His Word and did what it said. And somehow, with the four of us children, when we left home, we thought we could change the world. I mean, every one of us. And I remember one day talking to my brothers and saying, "Did you think that?" And he said, "Yeah, I thought that." And "Did you think?" "Yeah, I thought that." And we started talking. How did we come to that conclusion? And it was our mother. It was our mother who constantly told us, "God has a plan for your life that is wonderful, and your life can change the world."
Another essential component is in verse 7 and 8. Look at that with me. It says this: "For God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power and love and self-control. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord, nor of me, His prisoner, but share in suffering for the gospel by the power of God." Now, you remember those commercials that end with this question: "What's in your wallet?" Right? Well, this verse really encourages us to take a little bit of inventory about what is in our life. God has given us incredible gifts if we are His child. We see some of those here: power, love, and self-control or discipline. Do you ever need any of those things as you're raising your kids? Do you need self-control? Do you need discipline in your own life? None of us really wants to get out of our chair and go clean the kitchen or do laundry, right? Those things are hard. Sometimes they require discipline of us, or get up early when you've been up all night with your kids. This verse also points out to us an attribute that doesn't come from God. Now, we're not speaking here of awe or reverence, but this scripture is very specific, and it reminds us that God has not given us a spirit of fear. So if we find ourselves fearful at any point in our life, where does that come from? It comes from the one who is determined to derail God's agenda for our home: Satan, who is the father of all lies. Now, you may be thinking, "Well, I'm not really a fearful person. I'm just kind of discouraged." You know the interesting thing about that? Look at this word. Dis, D-I-S, means without. So when we are discouraged, we are without courage, right? Discouragement is just fear kind of dressed up in nicer clothes. Because we can say we're discouraged and nobody looks at us strangely. If we say we're fearful, they might, right? So it's just fear dressed up in nicer clothes. But it is just as destructive because it's the opposite of faith. And we can't do these essential things without understanding what it means to access the gifts that God has given us. When we are women who embrace courage, we help equip our kids for battle. We live in a world that opposes Christ. And as believers, we're not even designed to feel at home here. Why? This is not our home. We will never feel at home here on earth because God has built us to live in a different kingdom than this. But we are responsible to equip our kids for the opposition they will encounter during their time here on earth if they stand for Christ. You know, we wouldn't send our kids out in the morning in their pajamas or their long johns, although I've had some escape in their underwear before. But that would not be my choice, right? I wouldn't plan for that. My boys, I have four boys and four girls, and my boys used to love to dress up. And they used to like to put on things that made them look like knights in armor with capes and or soldiers with their guns, you know, and be equipped for battle. But that was just pretend. Why would we send them out into life without the real armor that Ephesians 6 says God has built for our children? This world is not friendly to our kids, right? And so we need to equip them with the armor that God has already provided for them. When we get on a plane, we're instructed to do what? Take the oxygen mask if something happens, put it on ourselves first, and then our child. In the same way, we need to be women who understand how to access the armor of God so that we are equipped, so that we can then turn and teach our children. Here's how you walk in the world. We can't expect our children to give an account for the hope that is within them unless we are grounded in that ourselves. What do we model about our possessions, our values, our modesty, what we believe about purity, our faithfulness to our marriage vows, how we make decisions? Do our kids know that God is at the core of every decision we make, or is He? Do they see that in our home? What do we model about the power of prayer? When our kids come to us and say, "Mom, I don't know what to do about this," is our first response, "You know what? We need to pray about that." And just right there, no matter where you are, I have prayed with my kids in the car, on street corners, outside an appointment before they went in the middle of the day, through text messages, whatever it took. But they understand that prayer is an essential part of what enables them to take their next step. Our children will take their cues from us. God needs to be part of every equation, and we cannot do that in our own strength. I love that God equips us for what He calls us to. And so our next essential here is the sense of calling that our homes need. In verses 9 and 10, again, we see attributes that God has put in place for us. God, who has saved us and called us to to a holy calling, not because of our works, not because of our works, nothing we have done, but because of His own purpose and grace, which He gave us in Christ Jesus before the ages began, and which has now been manifested through the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Now, we don't manufacture these gifts, these attributes that are essential ingredients. We don't manufacture them. Only God can do that. Scripture says He saves us from an eternity without Him, and He calls us to this holy calling. It's a distinctive lifestyle. It's not based on any of our accomplishments, but on His purpose. And then He gives us enabling grace so that we are able to do His will. We believe that grace is the power and the desire to do what God has called us to. We don't create it, but this verse says God, Christ, did that before the ages began. We are, however, responsible to access that grace. My granddaughter, Truth, who is 4, is also just like my daughter, Becca, who is my strong-willed one. Now, Truth and I were walking a few months ago and it was cold, and I'm really cold-natured, so I had on my really long coat, and we're walking down this path, and Truth said to me, "Honey," that's my grandmother name, she said, "Honey, I'm really cold," and she was up ahead of me, and I said, "Truth, run back this way." Now, normally Truth would not have run back this way, but she did, and so Truth ran back to me, and I opened up my really long coat, and I tucked Truth in right here, and she kind of glued to my leg and walked inside my long coat, and she wasn't cold anymore. She was covered. She had what she needed. In the same way, Christ calls us to run to Him, to access the grace, the covering that He has already designed for us. Do you know that, we have all these things on our phones, right? What are they called? What are the little boxes on your phone called? Apps, right? Do you know that Apple was not the inventor of apps? Because God did that a long time ago. God gave us the means to apply what we need to our life. And so if we find that we need power, there's an app for that in God's Word, right? Now you can say it with me, okay? If we need grace,
there's an app for that.
There's an app for that. If we need love, if we need hope, if we need endurance. Now, you know what? We don't have to work for those things. God has already put them in place. But what we do have to do is make a choice to access those things. If Truth had kept running up that hill, she would have just stayed cold. But the solution was already there. She wouldn't have accessed it and she wouldn't have had it. In the same way, we walk around as women complaining, and I know I've done my share of that. We walk around as women complaining about what we don't have, but God has already put it in place. We're just not running to Him to access what He has already given us by His Spirit and through His Word. God has the supply. Scripture says in verse 10 that it has now been manifested or made known. It's evident because Christ has brought all of this to light. Like Paul, after the Damascus Road experience, where one minute Paul had no eyes to see, the scales fell from his eyes, and then Paul could clearly see what Christ was calling him to. just like Paul, we need new eyes to see and access what Christ has provided for us and to understand our calling. Christ has abolished death, and he has, Scripture says, deposited to our account life and immortality. Now, I rarely go through a week, maybe not more than 2 or 3 days, where I don't get a message, a text, a phone call, an email from one of my children, and it goes like this. Hey, Mom, I don't get paid till Tuesday, but I have $4. This just happened yesterday before I left. I have $4 in my account. Can you run by the bank and put some money in my account so that I can make it till Tuesday? Now, when you have 8 kids, that happens a lot, you know? Sometimes it's at 2 a.m., like it was last night when my son called me at 2 a.m., not remembering that I was in Indianapolis, and it was really 3 a.m. You know what? What God has deposited in our account is absolutely amazing. Scripture says he's already done it. He has already made the deposit in us, for us. He has entrusted these truths to us, and as verse 12 says this, and I love this verse, I know who I believe, and I am convinced that he will guard these deposits that he has made in me, that he is making in my children, until I am with him. And until then, I need to be a transparent picture of God's deposit in my life so that they can see God's deposit in their life. Girls, we can't afford to indulge ourselves in the things of this world instead of understanding the deposit, the treasures that God has entrusted to us. We need to run to him because he already has us covered.
That's my friend Holly Eliff, along with her husband Bill. They've been showing parents how to equip their children for the work that God has called them to do. This message is part of a series called Epicenter, the World-Changing Impact of a Christ-Centered Home. Bill and Holly delivered this message at True Woman 12 in Indianapolis at one of our breakout sessions. At each True Woman conference, we all meet together for the main sessions, but then women can also choose some breakout sessions on Friday afternoon that fit with their interest and their season of life. So a lot of those breakout sessions cover practical issues like marriage, parenting, or singleness. This year, we have some speakers doing breakout sessions who are new to the True Woman conferences, including Lauren Chandler, Angie Smith, Jannie Ortland, and others. And the plenary speakers will also be doing some practical breakouts as well. Speakers like Mary Cassian, Janet Parshall, and our sweet friend, Johnny Erickson Tata. Well, True Woman 14 is coming to Indianapolis this October, October 9th through 11th. You can get all the details at reviveourhearts.com or give us a call at 1-800-569-5959. Again, that number is 1-800-569-5959. Now, tomorrow, Bill and Holly Eliff will be back with us. Maybe you look at all the challenges and the problems in the world and you wonder, what can our one family do that can really make a difference?
If you said, just your one family, you think, what can my one family do to really change the world? Where you can raise up a family with a red hot faith that understands their gifts and knows the truth and has a sense of calling and realizes that they can make a difference in this world. And then you can train them. Children, we want you to have children. physical children and spiritual children that you disciple and develop and teach them to do the same, who'll do the same, who'll do the same. In a few generations, our one family is going to send out millions of disciples who will help advance the kingdom of God.
Bill and Holly are going to show us the far-reaching effect that every family can have. So be sure to join us again for Revive Our Hearts.
Revive Our Hearts with Nancy Lee DeMoss is an outreach of Life Action Ministries.